Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Since 2014, the Maryland-based band, the Plate Scrapers, has been serving up their version of bluegrass music, originating from a several-year tradition of bluegrass jams and potluck dinners. The band has gone on to release 3 live albums and 4 studio albums. The most recent, Artifacts, set to release this coming June. One of the founding members, banjo player Derek Kretzer, joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Derek. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, this is Derek Kretzer from the Plate Scrapers. Good to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to spend a little time with us today. You guys are East Coast band, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're kind of centered around the mid-Atlantic, kind of right in the Maryland, Pennsylvania, West Virginia area. We actually have, of 5 members, we're representing 4 states, so always a tricky question when people ask us where we're from.
How far is it hard to get everybody together? Does everybody reside in those 4 states?
Yeah, we're all living between... We have 2 members in Maryland, kind of the Western Maryland area, and then we have 1 in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. We have 1 in Northern Virginia and another in Southern Pennsylvania. So although we are in 4 different states, we're all fairly close to each other. I think the farthest away any 2 members are is only about an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Oh, so wow. All right.
Yeah. We're right at the border of all 4 of those states, basically.
Yeah. People don't realize when you live that close to the border of a state, how easy it is to get into another state, sometimes even crossing time zones, which is really funny.
Yeah, luckily we don't have to deal with that unless we go out to like Nashville or something.
Yeah, sure. So are you guys predominantly a regional act then, or are you getting out further than that, out Midwest, West, and up North?
I would say we're regional to the East Coast. We haven't really done anything out into the Midwest further than like Ohio and Kentucky. But we've been all over the East Coast, as far south as I think in our actual, you know, almost 10 years as a band now. I think the furthest south we've gone down into like Alabama, but we're going to be in Georgia in May, and we've gone up into Michigan and all the way up into, you know, New York, Vermont,
and cool,
up the coast. So pretty much everywhere we've played from Vermont to Alabama. So pretty much just following the, you know, Appalachian Mountains up and down the East Coast. Sometimes go out to the coast, but
yeah.
staying in the mountain regions all along the East Coast and up into those areas.
So you mentioned that the band had been together about 10 years. How did you guys originally get together? I presume that you all were doing other things before, other musical ventures before you got together.
Yeah, we've all kind of, we've all done different musical acts. The original lineup, back when we started in 2015 or 2016, was actually my brother and I, who we've been, he's 2 years younger than me. He's no longer in the band at this point, but he was an original member, and we had been in musical, you know, bands all the way back into high school, playing all kinds of different stuff, from rock and roll to heavy metal to jazz. And he was actually a drummer back then, and I was playing guitar. And then we got into kind of folk music, and I ended up meeting Andrew, who is our guitar player, at a kind of some mutual friends would have a Sunday picking party at their farm, and every Sunday for a couple years straight, people just come out and kind of hang out and play music, swim in the pool, and have a potluck pretty much every Sunday. And that's how I kind of got into playing bluegrass and Americana and kind of old time fiddle tunes and stuff like that. The guitar player, his dad was playing bluegrass for many years, so he was kind of into that world, and he kind of pulled me in a little bit, and then we kind of just all met through mutual friends and kind of started the band originally back then as just a fun thing to do. And we're like, hey, we're learning all these songs, we've amassed this repertoire, why don't we actually have a band and we can go play gigs, and we don't have to just keep playing at our friend's farm every Sunday, because it started to get pretty rowdy. I mean, there'd be sometimes, you know, 50, 60, 70 people
at
party sometimes. And we started growing out of that. And we're like, you know what? We need to just get all you guys to come to a venue and play shows.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I love that beginnings story. That's fun.
That's how we became the Plate Scrapers. Actually, funny enough, with the band name, was the lady that owned the farm. She called us the Plate Scrapers because we'd pick all night long, and it would be a potluck, so there'd be all this food everywhere. And once everyone went to bed, we would stop playing music and go into the kitchen and basically clean out her kitchen and just leave a stack of empty plates in the morning.
I was hoping it was because you guys would help clean the plates when it was all over.
Well, we cleaned the food off the plates.
Right.
We sometimes cleaned it.
So the name stuck. That's funny. That's cool.
Yeah.
So when did it make sense, or when did it click that outside of your Sunday jams that you actually really were onto something and it was worth pursuing on a professional level?
Well, when we started playing shows, we really just had a blast with it, and we really got along as the core group of, you know, it was originally a four piece, and we just got along really well and enjoyed playing music and really couldn't get enough of it, and you know, started going to bluegrass festivals and stuff like that, and just like picking in the campground and meeting other bands and stuff. And I've played music you know, since I played guitar since I was 12 years old or so, and I always gravitated towards writing music. I enjoyed just writing my own songs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I played in other original bands throughout high school and college. I went to college for music as well. And I always just liked writing music. And when we started playing this kind of genre that was kind of newer to me, I was always into like kind of folky Americana music. But when I started playing banjo, and I basically just used that as a vehicle to, you know, write songs in that genre, essentially.
Right.
Or in that style. And then, you know, it didn't take long to amass enough original songs that we were like, hey man, we need to make a CD. We got 12 original songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got together and we recorded our first CD, which was called Contact, and that was back in, I believe, 2016, and that was all original music. The whole album was all original songs, no like traditional bluegrass or anything like that. So I'd say at that point when we started writing, you know, music for the band, that kind of became where we, I guess, were taking it a little bit more serious at that point, because
right.
we were, you know, taking our own music and out to other people, and people seemed to enjoy it and wanted to buy CDs and book us for other gigs. And you know how it goes, it snowballs from there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Do you consider is it a bluegrass band? Is that how you view yourself?
Yeah, I mean, we generally would categorize it more of progressive bluegrass. Mainly the way I kind of think of that. I mean, you know, with bluegrass these days, I mean, there's, you know, there's newgrass, there's jamgrass, there's you know, folk bluegrass, there's indie bluegrass, there's progressive bluegrass. So it seems like it's really branching out into a lot of different tiers, as mm-hmm. you know, compared to the old days. Well, I guess it was kind of even like that back with like, you know, John Hartford and Sam Bush kind of coining the whole newgrass thing.
Right, of course.
But I always kind of thought of progressive bluegrass as being bluegrass because we're using the instrumentations of traditional bluegrass. I mean, sure. If you look at the band, we have stand-up bass, banjo, fiddle, dobro, acoustic guitar. I mean, it looks like a bluegrass band.
Right, right. Yeah.
But we do have a lot of our own original songs. So I've always kind of thought of that as kind of the thing that kind of teeters it into the progressive side, mm-hmm. is that we're writing new music for the instrumentation that people kind of associate with bluegrass. Yeah. And we do a good variety of stuff. When we do covers that are from outside the bluegrass world, but play them, you know, in the style. And we definitely, we dabble in the jam grass scene. Like, we've played many, like, festivals that are not bluegrass festivals, mm-hmm. that we get some later night slots where it's, a little bit more of a party atmosphere. And, we do have a little bit more of a progressive setup as far as our, instruments goes. We have pickups, we play plugged in, we have some effects pedals that we can use to kind of broaden the spectrum a little bit of, mm-hmm. what we're able to do with the acoustic instruments, which, other bands are definitely doing that as well. But we're definitely, are not afraid to get out of the just straight traditional, mm-hmm. bluegrass realm. But that being said, we do find ourselves playing a lot of traditional bluegrass festivals as well, where we kind of maybe would lean a little bit more on to the traditional side of the stuff that we write and like as well. So we're kind of a unique band in that way, that we can exist in both worlds and, mm-hmm. feel pretty comfortable and kind of, have fun with either world.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you find yourself at this point being able to kind of focus on it as a full-time venture?
Yeah, for sure. We've been pretty much full-time for the past, I'd say, we really started wicking things up in 2018 and 2019, and 2020 was looking really good. That was actually going to be the year that we did our first Midwest tour out to Colorado, yeah. and stuff like that. But I don't have to tell you what happened there. We had a lot of lot of stuff.
You and everybody else, yeah.
Yeah, and that was we released our our biggest album endeavor in 2020 as well. That was Destination Horizon, which did really well for us. Unfortunately, we didn't really get to tour on it until 2021 or so.
Oh, yeah.
But I treat it as a full-time job. I mean, we all have little side gigs and other work that we do to, help pay the bills and stuff like that. But I mean, we play, every weekend more or less. We have a couple weeks off throughout the year, but we're traveling and playing festivals all through the summer, mm-hmm. Putting out recording records and doing all that stuff. Four out of the five members also teach music as well.
Okay, so
I teach music during the week, as do a couple of the other members of the band, and play gigs on the weekend, and we'll do a couple extended runs of shows throughout the year. But it's a full time job. We definitely put our heart into it, and mm-hmm. we put as much effort as we can, and trying to, make a product that we enjoy making and that other people enjoy listening to, and, getting out there and talking to people like you about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. So if I read correctly, you've got a couple live, a couple studio albums, about six total.
Yeah. We have, as far as like studio albums, the album that we are releasing this year, will be, I believe, our fourth studio album. Mm-hmm. One of them was a kind of a hat. It was an EP. It was like a six song album. That was Dishes. But yeah, and then we've recorded a number of live albums throughout our, being a band. Been trying to put out a live album every year or two, or we have a collection of songs that, from different shows, or if it's one full show. So yeah, we've probably put out, probably seven albums at this point. We just released a live album this year as well.
Okay. And is that your current album that's out?
Our most current album that is currently out in the world right now is Live from Barnes of Rose Hill, which is a live album.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be releasing a studio album later this year, probably in, I think it's set to come out in June.
Okay.
And that'll be an original, all original music. Actually, I think there's one cover on it, but mainly all original music, studio album.
And that's just around the corner, of course.
Oh, it's been recorded. It's all tracked and all that stuff. Basically, we're just working on artwork and you know, mastering and all that stuff.
Do you have a name yet that you're allowed to share?
Yeah, it's going to be called Artifacts.
Okay. And that's and you're looking for that around June. That's cool. And do you have a tour of some kind? Or how are you going to get that out to the fan base?
Yeah, it'll be released on, you know, it will have physical CDs, and then it'll of course be out on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, all those places for people to stream it. And then we usually offer digital download copies for people that don't have a CD player but still want to buy the album and support the band that way. And then we're going to be on the road basically promoting that all through the summer. We're going to be our March is kind of we're kind of taking a little bit of time off right now, but jumping back into things in April. We have some festivals. We're doing a couple night run with Wilson Springs Hotel in DC and Charlottesville, Virginia.
Cool.
Phoenix Fest, which is a local festival to us, in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia.
Oh yeah, sure.
April 21st, we're going to be there. We're also going to be at Cheat Fest in West Virginia. That's a really great festival that, put on by a lot of the rafting crew out there.
And then
after that, we're heading down to, we're doing Asheville and Knoxville, playing at Barley's there in Knoxville with some new friends of ours called Full Chord from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They're a really great band. There's a Fellini Bluegrass Festival in Georgia. And we got a slew of things. NEPA Festival. We're going to be at Gettysburg Bluegrass Festival. Kettle Jam Festival. Farmington, Pennsylvania. They have a festival called National Road Bluegrass Festival. That's in Farmington, Pennsylvania. So we're gonna be all over the place, and that's not even looking into July yet.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you guys are really really at it. That's cool. Mm-hmm. What's how far ahead do you look? Like where do you see you guys in 2 to 5 years? Do you have a band bucket list?
That's a really good question. I think that just continuing to vibe with the band and continuing on the trajectory that we're on. We've had a lot of really good momentum over the last year or two. So I think just continuing to keep doing what we're doing, you know, like putting out good music, writing good music, getting good shows, playing new places and stuff. I would say I'd love to get us out to the Midwest in the Colorado, Utah and area out there. That would definitely be on the little bit of a bucket list as far as travel, or even, even farther than that.
Yeah.
There's a whole slew of bluegrass festivals over in Europe too. And on the West Coast. So
that's right.
Plenty of places to take the music.
Yeah. I think you guys would fit really well with that European flavor. They tend to kind of be outside the box a little bit. So yeah, that would be fun for you guys. So the new album, you're expecting sometime in June, and then how far ahead do you write? How far ahead are you working on original material?
Oh, I'm personally always writing music, you know, and working on new stuff. I mean, I would say that after this album comes out, there's probably already another half an album already written.
At this point. All right, cool.
So there's plenty of stuff that's, you know, it's funny because it's like we spent the last year or so working, because it's, you know, with albums and songs, it's like by the time something comes out, generally the band or the artist has been working on that right. for a
You're
while.
Kind of over it.
It almost yeah. feels like some of the songs we've been that are coming out on this album are we've been playing for, you know, a year or two. I would say that we have been cognizant of that and trying to make the new albums when they come out to be fresh, and it doesn't come out, a new album doesn't come out and everybody looks at the song list and says, oh, well, I've been hearing this band play these songs
yeah,
already.
Yeah.
You know, of course you get a studio album or a studio recording of it, and that is definitely usually a better representation of than like just live or whatever, you
sure.
know, just
yeah.
everything's trimmed up and sounds really clean. But with this album, actually, we have, I'd say, three or four songs that are on this new album that we purposely have not been playing live that are going to be fresh, new, mm-hmm. brand new songs for the listeners there, for people that have seen us live. So there's some brand new ones on there. And then, you know, there's definitely already some new stuff that we've been working on in rehearsals and stuff that is, you know, not going to be on the new album, but potentially would be on the next album.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So what's the best way for people to track with you guys, reach out and get in touch, pick up your catalog of music, listen to what you guys are up to, follow you, catch you on tour? How do you like to communicate?
Yeah. So, I mean, the streaming the music, if you want to just listen to the music, there's plenty of streaming options out there, and most of our stuff is on all streaming platforms. If you want to help the band out in a more you know, a little bit more solid way with your dollar, buying merchandise and buying the physical CDs or digital downloads go really a lot farther.
Yeah.
so you can find, we have our store at our website, which is theplatescrapers.com. And you can find a store there to buy merchandise, t-shirts, CDs, all that good stuff. And we have our whole tour schedule there as well. And in addition to, you know, other little fun goodies with videos and whatnot. So that's theplatescrapers.com. And you can also sign up for our mailing list there right at the top of the page. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way if you're not super up on social media and doing all that stuff. We send out generally just one email a month, so it's not like you're going to get blasted with a million emails.
Sure.
because I'm the one that's got to send out those emails, so I don't have time to spam people.
Yeah.
so yeah, that's a good way to get updated as to where we're going throughout the year if any festival announcements come up. And then, of course, we have a Facebook page, which is just The Plate Scrapers, and we also have an Instagram, which is The Plate Scrapers, same handle. And that's where we're most active as far as social media goes. And that's a good place to keep up with the band.
Cool. Well, thanks, Derek. Hey, it's been fun hearing about you guys and learning a little bit more about the history and where you guys are, where you came from and where you're headed. And we certainly wish you the best with it. And I hope you guys have a great, great season this year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.